Tensions on the Korean Peninsula are running high. This month, the U.S. and South Korea launched their largest military exercises in nearly 6 years. And in response, North Korea tested 5 missiles, part of a record number of tests over the last 15 months. Nick Schifrin looks at the debate over U.S. policy in the region as the exercises and tests continue.
Above the Korean Peninsula, a show of force. U.S. bombers fly alongside South Korean jets to increase what the U.S. military called wartime strategic strike capabilities. And near the North Korean border, American and South Korean troops fire together as part of 11-day-long exercises they call Freedom Shield and Warrior Shield.
Majority of the training that we've conducted today is always to ensure that we're ready to fight tonight.
But North Korea also tried to show it's ready to fight. Last week on state TV, it tested an intercontinental ballistic missile it says can reach the entire continental U.S. It was a family affair. That's North Korean leader Kim Jong-un with his daughter and with his sister on the right alongside senior officials. In the last week, North Korea also launched what it called a simulation of a nuclear attack on South Korea after Kim reduced the threshold for preemptive strikes. And it launched a missile from a submarine, just one of more than 115 tests in the last year, the most in North Korean history.
They have a mission to qualitatively and quantitatively advance their nuclear missile program. They are using military exercises as a pretext, as an excuse. When you look at the past history, they've always conducted these kind of missile tests during the exercises.
Sumi Terry is the director of the Asia program at the Wilson Center in Washington. She says Kim Jong-un has no interest in diplomacy until the U.S. accepts North Korea as a nuclear weapons power.
They themselves said so last fall when they said, we're not coming back to talks if we are talking about denuclearization. We'll come back to the talks potentially to talk about arms control or something else, but it's not going to be about denuclearization.
But other North Korea experts believe Kim is willing to adjust his swagger if the U.S. were willing to adjust exercises and sanctions.
They're unhappy with our military exercises, and they may in fact be unhappy with the failure of the United States to meet the kinds of expectations they have about starting diplomatic activity.
Ambassador Robert Gallucci is a Georgetown professor and former diplomat. In the 90s, he was the chief U.S. negotiator of an agreement in which North Korea promised to shut down its nuclear weapons complex in exchange for energy facilities and improved relations. That eventually failed, as did diplomatic efforts under President Obama.
I think that your country has tremendous.
And President Trump's direct talks with Kim Jong-un. Unlimited. Now, the Biden administration has increased military exercises and regional cooperation, but also offered North Korea to meet anywhere with no preconditions.
Does that strategy make sense, do you think?
Well, it would make sense if it was working, and it doesn't make sense since it's not. That's better than having preconditions, but it's not as good as saying, look, we've thought about this, and we're prepared to make some moves, and we are going to begin with the fact that we have sanctions which we can manipulate. We have military exercises which we can manipulate. And we're prepared to send you a nice positive signal here that we're prepared to make some serious changes.
Should the U.S. be willing to adjust its exercises and its sanctions in order to get North Korea to the diplomatic table?
I don't think so. North Koreans are not interested in returning to the talks right now. Kim Jong-un has made up his mind to get his technical capability to a next level before they return to talks.
North Korea's nuclear advances have increased anxiety across the border in South Korea, where President Yoon Suk-yeol and other senior officials have discussed Seoul building its own nuclear arsenal. Oh Se-hoon is an influential member of President Yoon's party and a likely presidential candidate in 2027.
We've come to a point where it is difficult to convince people of the rationale that we should refrain from developing nuclear weapons and stick to the cause of denuclearization.
I think South Koreans are scared. They can trust the Biden administration, but to be honest, in the future, they're concerned about what's going to happen in the United States. Will we have another isolationist president who might talk about putting troops out of South Korea?
But right now, the alliance is becoming more unified. For years, South Korea and Japan had difficult relations, but last week their leaders resumed ties to help create a free and open Indo-Pacific.
We have agreed that under the current strategic environment, strengthening the Japan-South Korea relationship is an urgent task.
South Korea and Japan share the universal values of freedom, human rights, and law, and we are the closest neighbors and partners and must cooperate on security, economic issues, and global agendas.
An agenda that publicly includes countering North Korea's growing missile threat.
North Koreans are making all kinds of threats about preemptive use of nuclear weapons. But if they know that United States and South Korea and Japan are closely aligned and you cannot separate these countries, I think it would have some sort of impact.
North Korea continues to pose one of the U.S.'s most difficult challenges. And right now, the Biden administration is not signaling any policy change as the tests and exercises are expected to continue. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin. We'll be right back.